Warning. The following podcast may contain people who aren't very good at golf. You're listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast.
That's right, you are listening to the Chili Dippers Podcast, but today we're doing something a little bit different. We've got a bit of a special guest today. We've got one half of the I Like the Cut of Your Jib podcast, Ro Graham. Fixer, how you going, mate?
G'day, boys. Hey, pleasure to be here.
Forget, I'm still here.
He's just going to go with it again.
I'm still here.
So, okay, sorry, I was just letting the guests have priority. As always, to my right across the table, we have Dave Rolston. How you going, Rolls?
I'm good, thanks, mate.
So yes, we've just
as you say, half of the
yes.
We were prepared to have both of the Cut of Your Jib boys. Your mate Ross Hill has let us down, and I say your mate because I'm off him.
Yeah, no, he has.
I left him at 9:30 last. It was Roscoe's 40th last night. I left him at 9:30 in great condition with an absolute promise he'd be good to go at 11.
Not we didn't. Yeah, what
start
time
at
was
seven,
this? What
11 o'clock? We're meant to start.
O'clock.
Not yeah. 7 in the morning.
What time did you last see him?
I seen him at 9:30 at night. When did you see him?
Oh, I saw him at 2:20-something a.m.
Yeah, so, yeah, Rusty?
He had a Magnum ice cream. He was pretty relaxed. He said he might be in trouble. He didn't. He sent me a message,
which I thought... He's too sheepish to send me one.
Yeah, which I thought you blokes were copied in on.
No, not at all. What did he give you?
I'm a scratching today, lads. I've pulled up horribly and am incapable of knowing my name, let alone being a golf ball. Crying emoji.
That's a little better than I thought. I thought he was sort of dodging it sort of thing. If he's owned up to being as weak as piss, I can cop that.
No, I responded. My response was sensible. I said, I put a question mark next to your name once we got into AM territory this morning.
Where was the 2 a.m.? Was there up the street involved?
Big no, at the front of his house.
Oh.
No, we just sat
back
around.
Back had a birthday.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, couple of quiet drinks. It was a really good catch-up, actually.
It actually nearly turned into a Cut of Your Jib style event.
There's a bit of cross-promotion.
Yep. Well, I tried to sign up a few blokes, but it was all Cut of Your Jib stuff.
No, they're loyal. Nothing. Yeah, our mob's loyal.
They're loyal.
Yeah. I sent me representative there for nothing, did I?
Oh, I got a little bit. Once I actually heard the difference in tin cans and a piece of string from the Jib boys and actual electronics, they sort of realised what was going on. But they pretended to still be cutting your Jib boys.
At least you don't have to redo the first 2 minutes over there when they're doing it live.
I see you've got a bit of the merch on today. The hats are fantastic.
Yeah, limited edition. We gave you one. We probably should have grabbed Clarkie one as well. But
I still might have. Oh, no, I gave you that one down the back of the car. Yeah.
Well, I'm the host. So don't make out you're doing me a favour by giving me a hat that is actually mine.
Yeah, fair enough, Yes. Well, speaking of, we got to golf today eventually without Ross. Who'd we get to fill in for Roscoe?
So the plan was today we were going to have a pod off. We were going to have the Chili Dippers versus the Cut of Your Jib boys round of golf.
I thought, and I was probably wrong, that we would win that by too much. I was actually going to go Catholics versus Protestants. I was going to have me and Roscoe against you two heathens.
You went to many a Sunday school.
High school Galen setup.
Yeah, high school Galen style setup. Yeah. But
that would have worked.
That would have worked too well. I'm glad Roscoe didn't show up.
So we had one pull out. So we had one of the guys from our punk club, which you've heard us talk about plenty of times, Tim Deberman, or Tim Jim, as he's fondly known as. He filled in. He stepped in for Roscoe.
Come straight off track work this morning, did he? wrote a few. He's only a little fella, Tim Jim, but he was magnificent.
Ribbon fella. So it was me and Tim Jim versus Rolls and Fix. We just went a little bit of a...
Ambrose.
Two-man Ambrose.
At the start of it, reasonably arrogantly, Fix and I thought we had him covered.
Or we saw him playing a little circus doc and we thought, oh, he's only a little black.
So we actually gave him 18 free shots, like 18 mulligans. So 9 each. We thought they can have 9 mulligans each. Then we thought, that's a bit generous. We better get a couple mulligans ourselves. And then when Tim
birdied the first hole on his own.
Well, he smashed his drive down the middle, chipped just short of the green, then chipped in.
We had to renegotiate.
Then
we won the second hole. And we were two up after two. We tied the second, we won the third, and we renegotiated at the start of the fourth, and we gave them back 9 shots, which...
But took our two away.
Took your two away, yeah. So we went back to just 9 mulligans to zip.
And we were pretty happy with that deal. We're privately on our in our buggy. We thought, we've got them now. That helped.
Yeah.
We played. It was pretty even for most of it.
Yeah.
And right at the half, at the halfway mark, yep. It was 37 all.
Yep,
and,
we'll and both
two,
run over.
Was over for either playing holes. It and was two you, holes each or 37
each. We'd use five of our mulligans at that stage. So we were sitting there. We'd use roughly half. Like so, yep. we were tracking okay.
I thought I was pretty happy with where we were going because Fix had plenty left in the bag, I thought. I thought Fix hadn't given much around the front. I thought he'd have plenty for the back.
Until we got to the left tee box. And Fix hit one of the biggest drives of all time.
That's the thing. We got, so what hole was that? About 14? 13 or 14?
14. I think there was two good drives
13
in
or 14,
a row. And you
bloke
was
used
three mulligans in two holes.
330-metre hole, and Fix hit it to 20 metres.
Yeah.
And because that had put, we thought, and that put the boys off.
We were saying that was okay. We used them all on our second shot in.
Yeah, but we thought that drop, because your second shot in was from 170.
Yeah.
Our second shot in was from 20.
20, yeah.
So we were, that put you right under the pump. We were feeling good then.
And then we used one, my first one into the bunker.
Yeah.
Timmy hit his into the bush. So I took a mulligan, then I hooked mine into the back left. And then I think we used another mulligan at Tim's, who was no good. So we ended up taking my original ball.
Yeah, we wasted four. And it stayed even then. Oh, you pinched a hole on us. You got back to one up.
Yep, the par five coming back.
Then we pinched one back, sort of thing, and it was even for the last. We had the par three where you nutted one right near the middle. I missed, Fixer hit a real ripper, so I used both hit rippers in and we evened up. The second last, we thought we had you there, but we didn't hit our approach real good.
Yeah,
so it's even
I
going.
Played a good second shot.
You played a real good second, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It was tied up going into the last.
Tied up going into the last.
So all said and done, yeah. Forget all that. All said and done, we were tied up. No mulligans left.
We got a mulligan off here at 17, so you had none left.
Yeah, our plan was to save as many mulligans as. And these boys were trying to get their heads all going.
We were fatiguing too.
We wanted to use a mulligan here. We were foot off the fairway. Oh, I'd use a mulligan.
We were on memory. We were on fumes the last two or three. The heat had got us and the fatigue had got us.
Needle was on empty.
Yep. But then we get onto the last and little Tim, who had been magnificent all day,
yep,
smoked one up the... Go back
to 17.
All right.
I hit mine into the water.
Yep.
And so did Tim.
Yep.
So we had one. So we had to use our mulligan. Tim just grabbed his ball, walked up, placed it down like, yep, and just smashed one down the middle. And it's a tough tee shot, that.
Yeah. It is. Water a tight
down the left, bunker in the middle, and hit it down the middle. Solid as a rock, yep, which saved our round.
Saved you blokes. But then last hole, you tagged it left, you hooked it again.
Yep.
Tim, straight up the middle again. I hit my worst drive of the day, I think, and then Fix come up.
Bang.
Bang.
Smoked it,
yeah.
300 straight up the middle. 50, 60 metres past your boy. Yep. And we thought, we've got them. We can't lose it from here. But
We tried pretty hard.
We did our best.
We tried real hard.
We both played reasonable seconds in, but missed the green.
We were about 10 short.
We chipped far too far from the hole.
Not all of us chipped. What did you do? What did you do from 20 out?
I putted and didn't make the green. I putted and still didn't get on. Fix got us out of trouble there. But yous were too far. So you three putted the last to lose it.
Yeah. Oh, it was one of the worst putts of all time.
Yeah, like, both of you just short.
Yeah, we had a big long putt the first one. Tim left his mile short. I kicked it out of the road thinking, that's fine, I'll get as close to that.
And you didn't even leave it as an
option,
did you?
Got stuck on me for John on the way past and left it about, 3 metres short?
I think we were probably 3 minutes. We couldn't even see our line.
You'd left
yours that short that we actually couldn't even get a line on where we were putting.
But we ended up making it. So you had a 2.5 metre to halve it?
Yeah, we shaved the putt. Shaved the hole with both last putts, but it wasn't good enough. So these congratulations to these boys. Hats off.
Yep. So the first ever one, the Fixer Rolls combination won it, but we gave best on ground to Tim.
Yep. So Roscoe, you're out. Sorry, mate. You didn't make the first one. So this is now an annual event.
That's fair enough,
I
reckon.
You'll have to come up with some other day, mate. You'll have to get down here.
Now, why we're calling you Fixer?
Yep.
Everyone asks me.
I want to know this.
Fixer's nickname. Yeah. Now, there's probably a few versions of the story.
Yep.
I'll tell mine.
Yep.
And you tell me if I'm correct or not. How's that?
That's the easiest way.
All right.
Because the variations depend on what kind of a mood I'm in and I can jazz them up.
I tell it very favourably to you. I could carve you up, I won't, because I'm generally trying to look after you.
Yep, right? I appreciate that.
Me and you were driving up to Brisbane to play footy.
Yep.
And you were even telling in the car you wanted a new nickname.
Yep.
And you wanted bull or ox or something, didn't you?
He wanted something.
He did.
Yeah, tripod or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted something cool. But as you know, you can't make up your own nickname. They have to have it organically and stick.
Correct.
So one of the early days we're up there, and you're going out on the piss. You've had a few drinks. You're going to pick up one of your boys, one of your mates.
Yep.
You've got it. You're a kid from the bush, just with a dream in the big city, a bit lost, not knowing what you're doing.
Yep.
You're in the taxi. You say to the taxi driver, who I assume was Indian or Afghanistani.
He could have been.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so there was some broken English. You say to him, look, I've got to run inside and grab me mate. I'm not going to run away. Here's me wallet to prove I'm not going to run away.
Correct.
Right, so you leave him his wallet. You go in to get Spanner or Horseshoe or whatever his name was.
Yep.
And he runs away. He drives off on you.
Correct. Yep, right? That's what happened.
All right,
yep.
So that's so the poor kid left crying in tears, lost his wallet his first night in the big city. Up in there's a newspaper called the Courier Mail, and they have a section called The Fixer. And it's generally for 80-year-old ladies who the bank rips off or 17-year-old girls who mechanics rip off. It's that style. So,
good-looking 20-year-olds that lose their wallet.
I'm a helpless little girl. The big bad mechanic charged me too much to fix my car. Or I don't understand the new bank. And you know, they help people out. So Fixer goes crying. Roe Graham at this stage goes crying to the newspaper that the big bad taxi driver took me wallet. So the newspaper does the story, goes to the taxi company,
you remember what you actually wrote in? Can you remember
I reckon I'd have the article somewhere, but I remember I spoke to them, and then I think they rang me, and then I spoke to them. They said, leave it with us. And then it was in the paper.
And that's the death knell. Once it was in the paper.
Yeah, there's a photo.
The blokes at the footy club see it in the paper. And then next night at training, it was just the Fixer. And it stuck like nobody's business, didn't it?
$250 the cab company gave me.
Really?
So I had in there. Give or take a few bucks. It was around that. I used to have heaps of money in my wallet back in those days.
Yeah, yeah. But you've never seen a nickname stick like that. Once it was in the paper and with that story. So is that basically, I've got that pretty right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. So that's pretty accurate.
I assume you weren't abusive to the taxi driver in any way, shape or form?
So
that was the first
unlucky
taxi driver you hadn't abused in your life?
Yeah, I might have told him to put it on Gold FM, but that's about it.
So up at these footy clubs that you've opened and ran all that, is it one of those nicknames where no one even knows your name's Rowan?
Oh, like, people up there, yeah. But people in Wanga got it now.
Yeah, it's come back, followed you to Sydney. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure a lot of people know, but people in Wanga would still know you're Rowan.
People in Sydney would only know Fixer.
A good nickname is when someone says Rowan, people are going, who the fuck's Rowan? Or it sounds weird to them.
I very rarely get called Rowan nowadays.
It has stuck like nobody.
Yeah, to the point where I put Graham on the end of Fixer, like Fixer Graham.
Well, on that, the cut of your jib, your emblem, your thing, the bottle of wine with the fix.
Yes.
Where'd you get that from?
Don't
pretend you don't know.
It was from you. It was a gift. So it was $2.99 wine. I appreciated that you gave it to me.
Listen to a few of our older pods. My gift giving lives on.
Yeah, that bottle still sits in my house.
There you go.
I haven't got an occasion special. I don't know the quality of it. No.
Clint Saunders.
Oh, right.
Clint Saunders had...
So it was a re-gift.
No, he had a box of them. From himself, and I said, "Oh, I've got a mate called Fix. I'm going to take one of them and give them to."
There was a golf ball one day.
I bought him a box of golf balls that had the Fix on them.
Seeing me today, they're well and truly gone. Those golf balls.
You need golf. If anyone wants to buy Fix some golf balls, he goes through plenty. So see if you can look after him there.
I had a sleeve of TaylorMade that was gone by the second hole. Yeah. I reckon.
Now, the other thing I wanted to discuss while we had Fix here, I want you to adjudicate this, Clarkie, for us. Mm. We've got a mate called Peter Rourke. Do you know Rourke?
Yep, I know Rourke.
We know him pretty well. And the poor kid's living a lie. He needs to be straightened up. You know how I feel about mugs and hacks that have had hole-in-ones? I don't like it. Mm. Have you had a hole-in-one, Fix?
No, being close,
and
which obviously
I'll be
means
happy
nothing.
That you've had a hole-in-one, you've got some talent.
Yep.
As you know, I'm upset that Clarkie's got one.
Yep.
And I'm upset. Now, Rourke, have you been into his house? Have you seen his hole-in-one trophy?
I wasn't aware that he had a hole-in-one, no.
He claims to have had a hole-in-one. He has a hole-in-one trophy. It's got the big one, the ball and everything on it, all right?
As you would if you get a hole-in-one. Yeah.
I was speaking to someone the other day who was in the group. So this is straight from the horse's mouth.
Yep.
The par 3, fourth at Jubilee.
Oh, hit it up on the right side and let it roll.
Exactly
down.
Was his plan. He's hit it that far up on the right, he's lost his ball.
Yep.
Lost it, out, done. I'll take another one off the tee. Now, I don't know if he said, I'll take it for fun, if I'm playing it. whatever, this is me next one. He's holed that. Has he had a hole in
for
one?
For a par.
No,
he's parred it.
He's parred it.
Yeah, no hole in one?
That's not a hole in one.
That's not a hole in one. So do we go and do we break in and take the trophy? He can't. He...
Or we at least shame him enough to make him get rid of the trophy. Yeah. One or two. Because
he's a lovely bloke, but on this one, he's definitely wrong. Now that's a par.
Don't soften it up with this he's lovely bloke shit. That's no one's copping that.
I even said on the pod we were talking about my hole in one. Yeah. I've always said before I had that one that. The thing about the one I had, it was the shot was was perfect.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
and
yeah,
I said I'd hate to have that first one where you're doing it for fun or you've hit one along the ground, it rolls in. I don't want it. Yeah. I'm not claiming it because you.
Yeah, you take it. I remember a bloke at school that we went to school. I think it was might have been Dave Porter.
Oh yeah, Port's lives in there now.
Shout out,
Port. I play basketball with him every Thursday.
Yeah, well, he might be able to confirm this whether it's true or not. But
he doesn't.
I think on the 8th of Jubilee, that little downhill 120 yarder.
Yeah, that's a lip.
Nice. I heard, you might be able to confirm this with him, that he hit a 3-wood that he topped all the way along the ground into the hole for a hole in one.
3-wood there?
I don't know.
Did he say, I'm going to pretend to be me 80-year-old auntie watch me hit this?
The only other bloke that would take a 3-wood would be Mark Goody. I can't think of any other blokes that would hit a 3-wood over 120.
If you take a 3-wood, that's got to be your plan. It's just hit along the ground into the hole.
I've regularly, when I was younger, hit ones that were bad and it just finds its way down there. But it's 3-woods.
So you're saying Goodza would 3-wood as well?
Yeah, he would hit a 3-wood.
Which Goodza?
Mark, the older one. You know, Paulie, he plays, but not real well. But he swings it properly.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mark would be bruising his ball too much. But he's pretty gentle with his golf balls. He thinks they're made of glass, doesn't he? He doesn't want to break them.
Nah, he loves it.
Going back to Rorke for a second. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he has a legitimate hole in one, whether he calls it his second or first, because. Whether he just pushes the ball out of that hole and puts the one in there and that's his new hole. That'll be the deciding factor.
Yeah. Have you seen the framed up version of what it is?
I've seen his trophy. He's got a little,
because generally they're accompanied by a scorecard.
Yeah, no. Little wooden stone base, a gold number one with a bit of a half moon cut out and the ball sits into the one there.
I've got those trophies at work.
Yeah, yep.
Yep. Think about putting the scorecard in there. That actually would have been good.
Yeah, you should put it in just with the one.
Yeah, because that's better. Might be 8, 8, 8, 7, 6, 1. Doesn't matter. Cool, fair enough. Yeah. Yep. So have we sorted Rorke out? He's got to be better than that.
Yeah, no, he should be better than that. Right.
And Russell's got to start showing up the shit that he says he's going to show up to.
He's 100% as far as I've known him, he's 100% strike rate for not showing up.
Right. Yeah, well, I was unbelievably loyal and confident about him showing up before today. And lucky I had the flame retardant suit because he has burnt us big time. He's a disgrace.
Yeah. I did say I wasn't 100% confident he'd be here.
No,
I'm just happy to write him off that he wouldn't be here. But
we should have called him in on anchor.
Seven. That his 40th with a ripper last night. I enjoyed that.
Good people.
Good catch up.
Fantastic
good people.
Company. Yep. There's a few of the old boys we haven't seen for a while, and hence we probably stayed a bit late. And Roscoe probably.
I was having trouble standing up. That's why I left it on 30 morning. Ankle's all swollen up.
Ray looks fresh. Fresh as a daisy though.
Yep, you season campaigner.
I think he's sort of permanent three quarters pickle, so it's not a big jump.
I carried you for 18 holes.
What, and Roscoe's not Roscoe, not a big drinker? What?
Last time he drank, he ended up in hospital for 3 days. He's just missed a 40th.
That's right. Yeah.
We had to cut him loose.
No, he's 100 days. That's two.
He's two for two. He doesn't like you.
Yeah, he doesn't like Clarky.
Yeah, he was going to get the EMU export. Or EMU bitter cans last night for a joke and have a couple of them.
Yeah,
but
he's two for two for you.
Yeah, and I was a late call into the last 40.
Well, you replaced him.
Yeah.
You might have taken his spot in the starting lineup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right.
First emergency.
I don't know how you deal with him.
No, he's reasonably consistent on the pod. Yeah, he's there. He's there every week. Right.
He's got to start giving you a bit more on the pod too. He's a bit flat, isn't he?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's a bit flat. He's a good man.
All right,
I'm not going to unleash him.
You're as weak as fist too.
Look, this is where you give
fuck, I'm going to drop it. I'm going to cop it.
You might get away.
If Ro wasn't here and Roscoe was sitting there, we go, fuck, Ro's a bit flat. Ro's a bit flat on the pod.
I'll tell you what Fixer said to me today that made me laugh. We're sitting over, we're on one side of the green, and you were back the other, and Fixer goes, isn't this a prick of a game? Don't you lie your ass off during golf saying, oh, good shot, Clarky, well played. You just fucking hate saying it. You're thinking, you prick, that was shit. You lucky prick, you're not that good.
I was being honest. I don't know how many times I yelled out, get in the pot. When you hit one, and it was
right. Well, the funny one was that one. You had the first one. He stuffed the first one up, little Tim Jim. And then we were talking about it. And then you nutted one within 8 feet of the pin. And we're like, yeah, good stuff, Clarky. Oh, you wanker.
Oh, the words were burning coming out. They tasted like vinegar coming out.
Real salty.
Yeah, that's the beauty of Ambrose, though. Because like I said, I wouldn't be cheering for your ball to go in the bunker or to miss a putt.
If we're playing with each other, I generally do want you to play well.
Yeah, me too. But Ambrose, I was actually verbally yelling at, get in that pot.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
I just love the old, when you drive down the fairway, me and Tim, you're like, I think our short game's better than Tim Jim. I think we've got him. Our balls will be 10 metres both off the green. We're advantage us, mate.
We could hear over everyone saying, gee, they're positive, those blokes. They're up and we're saying, gee, Tim Jim, we're getting into it. Going, you fucking idiot. Hit it better, you dumb fucking.
You know, Tim Jim, he's too nice.
He's too nice. Everyone was saying, Tim Jim was too nice. He should have stuck you one or two. But he's going, no, you're great. Like, yeah, he was really good.
14 drive that he should have been into me.
Yeah, there was one that you snap hooked, basically, would have gone 10 feet in the water. And he's like, I think that we should be able to find that. Well, he'd smacked one 250 down the middle.
That's all right, Clark. You get the next one. You get the next one. He's super nice.
No, that was good. All right, I reckon we've probably covered our round of golf and probably got all we're going to get out of Fix. He looks cooked to me.
Nothing, no final words, Fix. You don't want to.
No, I'm impressed with the setup here.
It's a lot better. Studio look to you.
Yeah, it's good. It's a lot of tools and equipment that we're unfamiliar with on our show.
How's the temperature? Because he's normally whinging about every fucking podcast about how cold
it is. I'd rather have more nipples like AK-47 boards if I can. I want to be freezing.
Normally 45
I'm sweating
degrees
up
in the shed.
The shed there's a little fan. But
I could have done with a bit cooler today. Right now,
fuck, now it's too hot.
No, that's been good. I've enjoyed that. So we're going to keep this us against him and Tim Jim Christmas event to go on.
Yeah, Roscoe might have to go through the .com tour or something, some other qualifiers, or give him a run.
Or we might have to get. Oh, you're overseas. That's a problem. We might have to get down your way somewhere and play.
We'll work something out.
Yeah, no, it'd be good. I thoroughly enjoyed it today.
Thanks, mate. You've been a great guest. And all the best with the cut in your jib, boys.
First guest, too.
First and fantastic.
I'm not going to blow smoke up both your asses,
you know where that expression's come from?
Yeah, I listened to last week's show, actually.
Good.
Yeah. I nearly had to do that today to get you going.
Would have got me going, too.
I just wanted, as you blokes know, I'm one of your biggest fans and always listen to the show and love it and very honoured to be on it. So
we appreciate it. Very much for that. Yeah, no, that's great. Thanks, mate. Really good.
One day after you return the honours and I'll get on his podcast and talk a bit of cricket or something like that.
Oh, this bloke has been bugging me for months to get on there.
I have got some material and some people to whack lining up about my cricket career and how hard I'd done by I was.
He saved up all his shit on his liver for 20 years and he's got a forum where he can air it.
You might
and he's going to use
have
us.
Have you seen him play cricket or footy? Because I hear all the stories. And it's like, sorry, because he knows I've never seen any of it. He was...
Thanks for being a guest. Sorry, you've got to go. We'll get you again another time.
Before we go, we've run a little shorty stories.
Me at the end. He didn't get me at any time.
Yeah, I knew he'd say that. I definitely got him. I blew up his groin one day.
Yeah, we were playing at Rovers one day and Fix passed one to me and it wasn't quite on the money. So I've had to bleep sideways between two blokes, got me leg caught between them, nearly ripped the leg clean out of the socket. I'm crawling off the ground on my hands and knees, still managed to get the handball back to him. And I think I missed 14 weeks.
Yeah, no, it was just I kicked it 10 metres in front of him perfectly for him to lead onto and he ran and then blew like he'd been shot by some kind of sniper.
And got carried off.
And I also, it might have been at Rorke's backyard, we were playing cricket with a proper cricket ball.
We were playing a pretty serious
and I told,
game of backyard.
Yeah, it was a pretty fair dinkum game. I told Rolls I've got the best wrong-un and no one ever picks it and held it back for, must have bowled at you for about an hour and a half,
yeah,
I reckon.
Which you did, but that's how well I was batting. I was playing you on the
bench. I was just waiting for it. Let the wrong end go, nip back, and hit him on the hands.
First time in 25 years of cricket I've been hit on the gloves.
Yeah, never been hit on the hands. Yep.
Fingers probably got a couple of metal sticks in it now. No. I'll come on your podcast and I will let fly with my cricket career.
Yeah, we can't wait for that.
Yep. But no, thanks, mate. Again, thanks for coming on. That was great. Really good.
Nah, thanks very much, boys. I appreciate it. And everyone out there, keep enjoying the show.
Keep enjoying both shows. That's great.
Yep, that's what it's all about.
Thanks, Flappy.
No worries, mate. We'll wrap it up there and we'll wait till next year. We'll have another edition of the
The two boys Ambrose Championship.
Yep,
sounds good. Beautiful. Thanks, boys.
Thanks, mate.
All right, well, that was interesting. Fix is gone now. It's just me and Dave back in the Chili Dippers studio. How do you think that went, Rolls?
I enjoyed that. I really like having a guest. I think it takes the pressure off us a bit and gives us a bit of variety. I'm not sure our interviewing skills are that great. We might not have used Fix to his best ability there. But other than that, I enjoyed it. But I noticed you doing a fair bit of technical work during that. Does the extra man make it a bit different?
It does a little bit. Look, to people who are listening now, apologise if the audio quality isn't up to our super high standards that you're used to with the Chili Dippers here. We've got microphones and microphone cables coming out of all different things.
There's a bit going on here at the studio. Yeah.
So we're normally a two mic setup. We had to incorporate a third mic. So I'm sort of winging it at the moment. So I'm not sure how that went. But if it wasn't top notch, look, we'll try to fix it for next time. Because like Ryle said, the interviews are good fun. We're going to try to start maybe in the future.
Yeah, every now and again, get a guest in. That'll be good.
Absolutely. Now, before we go any further, we haven't spoken about your new golf clubs. You actually had a round with them today. What'd you think of them?
Well, firstly, I was like the cat who got the cream, wasn't I? I was happy as. Santa Claus was very good to me and gave me a fair bit of the folding stuff, which I enjoy. And we got to go shopping for some new clubs. I'd had a pretty good look on Rock Bottom and a pretty good look on most of the sites around. And we ended up at Ray Drummond in Albury there, which had the Callaway XRs, which wasn't my first choice, but because I thought I was outpriced by them. I thought I was looking for something around 800 down to 5. I thought a set of irons for 400 to 500 that were, you know, 30, 40, 50% off would be great. But these were 1200 down to 6 and they caught me eye, and you probably encouraged me as you do to go to the dearer ones, the more expensive ones. And yeah, I loved them today. They were nice and light too. The sweet spot's still all good and the primer riding, easy to hit. But the lightness was the big factor because as I get older, I'm not in the gym pumping out the big ones like I used to. So, the lighter clubs were really good. I loved them.
Yeah, well, and you actually played pretty well because I remember like a few years back when I actually got mine, it was probably the most upset or disappointed I've ever been on the golf course. I got a set of brand new Titleist. Couldn't wait to take them out, as you do, and couldn't have hit them any worse. I was literally, I was inconsolable. But you actually hit yours pretty well.
One thing with that, I actually do, as you know, travel around and use a lot of people's different clubs. Like, remember last time in Queensland, I borrowed Holmesy. I borrow yours all the time. Yep. So I'm actually reasonably okay and used to hitting a new club reasonably well. And I said, they're still the same series of Callaways that I've had for a long time. So they weren't overly different. They're just new, a little bit better technology and all that. But I ended up getting a bag too, which...
Yes, I was just about to say, you didn't give them much... You didn't leave anything on the table when we were at the Drummond Golf. You tried to get everything out of them.
You don't enjoy the negotiating process as much as I do. I screwed him for every cent I could.
And every golf ball and...
give me a couple of free golf balls. They put in a little green repair. I got the bag for $100 off, $100 down to 98. Oh, sorry, 200 down to 98.
Yep. What else did you get?
I accidentally walked out with the glove I had on while I was trying. You know, when you try the clubs out, they give you a glove to hit and force a habit. I just chucked it in my pocket like you do, like when you're walking onto the green. And I noticed once I was outside the store that I had it, and I was too embarrassed to go back.
It didn't look overly embarrassed. You looked actually wrapped in yourself that you actually got a bonus glove.
Yeah, well, I don't think they'll miss it. But and you did a little bit of shopping yourself. Well, like nearly every store I've ever walked in with you, you didn't walk out empty-handed.
Well, look, I was just there for moral support. I was a last-minute call-up. I had other plans that got cancelled. So
I'm not a great shopper, as in I really love I need someone to tell me, yes, buy it.
Yes.
Or I won't spend the money.
Yeah. So I come along just like Rolls just mentioned, just for help. But seen a pair of shoes on the shelf that I like the look of. And looking in the summer,
Have you ever seen a pair of shoes you haven't liked the look of, though? That's the problem.
I do have a bit of a shoe fetish, I must admit. But look, I am going to actually throw a pair out.
There was a visual there of my eyes widening and me nearly falling off the chair. But
I'm renowned for not throwing pairs of shoes out. But not the pair that I'll in summer, I just wear runners. when it's not wet. So, but I bought these are like a runner, it's like a hybrid type golf shoe, which I prefer, comfier.
They're a good looking shoe. They look really good.
Yeah, and look, and I wore them today, and they were fantastic. But the pair that I did wear will now become my lawn mowing shoes, and my lawn mowing shoes will.
Oh,
will
you run
go
that
in the
program,
bin.
Right? Yes. When you say wore them today, you weren't around again after our hit with Fixin' Tim Jim, didn't you? So
yeah,
your shoes must have been real comfy.
Yeah, well, we went out for 18 in the Cutty Jib versus the Chili Deppers. Chili Dippers battle, and then I've got a cousin from Melbourne who's down, Paul Layden. He's got the golfing bug like nobody's business.
He's not the first, but no.
He's got a big time. So we've been talking about it. He's been emailing and texting back and forth for a
You don't see much, do you?
Not a heap, no. Yeah. So he's been into me about coming down for a long time. Finally got in the car and drove down and spent a couple of days here. So I had to go out for another 9 holes after us. So I played 27 for the day.
I'd be buggered. You hit him all right for the second?
I actually hit him better than I hit him
with
the
us.
First 18, yeah.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
So you took 18 to get warmed up.
Yeah, yep. Look, I had eagled one of the par fives, which was pretty
there,
handy.
Look, now, I actually ran into Adam, your brother, who you played with, and he said, if Luke mentions his par five, just make sure you get every little bit of truth out of that. So
there was a caveat. The men's tee box had the sprinkler was on. Uh-huh. So we didn't go there. We sort of teed off just in front of the ladies' tee box.
So what's that, 180 yards from the up?
It was 50 or 60.
Oh, all right. Yes. That's still a fair, all right. So you teed off from the ladies.
Yeah, look, and I hit a good drive for a change, which I hit pretty high and just a little bit to the right, and it sort of...
Near the water on that edge?
Near the water. Oh, didn't go in the water, just felt just about a foot sort of from it. And as I was walking up, I haven't actually told you this. Earlier on in the day, we were talking about how the weather, the heat, and I was saying, I'm amazed we haven't seen a snake out here yet.
No, I've never seen one out there.
I walked up to my hole, and it was, like I said, just off the fairway, off the edge near the water. I walked up, and there was a dirty big, it would have been a good 6-foot snake just sitting about 2 feet from the ball.
Brown snake, red belly, black.
Oh, I'm not good with these snakes.
You didn't inspect it?
No, I was actually pretty good. I tried to get a photo of it. So I was... Because I was going to take a drop, because snake free drop.
Is that a real rule?
I jokingly said that, but Adam actually said it is. You
it
can
is
actually take a free drop, which is not
true. I bet I'm going to be seeing a lot more snakes when I'm by myself in the bush.
So I suppose the old play where it lies is a bit harsh if it's sitting there with a 6-foot snake. But anyway, it was sitting there with its head up looking at me.
Head up? That's fairly aggressive, or was it just looking around?
No, it was just sitting dead still. I actually thought it was a stick. Normally when you're on the course, you think all sticks are snakes.
Yeah.
I actually thought this snake was a stick. So I sort of was walking up to it, and then when it lifted its head and sort of stared at me, I stopped, got my phone out to take a photo.
Did it have a bit to hiss in? Sorry. go on.
No, I don't think I can. so I went to take a photo of it, and I had a perfect shot, but I tried to get a little bit closer to get my ball in the shot. And as I took that extra step closer to it, it took off into the weed.
They're more scared of you than you are of it?
They are. It took off in a real hurry. And then we couldn't find it. We actually went into the bushes to try to find it, but we couldn't. Oh, geez, but anyway.
I'm not too scared about him, but I don't go chasing him. I reckon once they let him
Adam
go.
Adam came across and wanted to see it, so we were sort of fishing around for it. But anyway, he hit the second one onto the green, made a fairly long putt for eagle.
All right, so you're claiming that eagle off the ladies?
Yes, I am. Bloody oath, I am.
Look, fair enough. Look, I would. You tell me all day I hit it like a little girl, so off the ladies are fine by me. Well, I reckon we've probably done enough today. I reckon we wrap this pot up. If the listeners want to get hold of us, where can they do that, Clarky?
Well, look, you can send in some questions. You'll find us at thechilidippers@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, again, at thechilidippers. And if you haven't already, jump onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review, if you can. A lot of people have actually been telling us they've been having trouble with that. But if you can, that'd be great. That always helps us out. Any last things before we wrap this up, Rose?
We're done, mate. I'm hungry. Let's go get some chicken.
All right. Couple lessons a day. Well, okay.
sitting on the swing and talking trash.